Hello, thank you for joining the Camden First Assembly broadcast. We are so excited to share the Word of God with you today, believing that this Word is exactly what He has for your life. So, stay tuned for today's message, and as always, remember, there's a place for you at Camden First Assembly.
Matthew chapter 6, and I want to begin in verse number 25. I want to read verses 25 through 34. Together this morning. This is what it says. It says, "Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, which you will eat or drink, or about your body, which you will wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If this is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Boy, isn't that good right there? That's good preaching, Jesus. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Amen? Tell your neighbor, don't worry. Some of you said, be happy. I heard you. Yeah. Bringing in that song. You know, there's some spiritual truth and revelation in that. You know, God can use what other people have. Anyways, I don't have time to get into all of that. But really, I want to talk to you this morning, and the title of this message is Fear Not. Fear Not. Tell your neighbor, fear not. Preach with me this morning. Tell them, fear not. There is, because of the events that are unfolding in our world right now, there's a great deal of fear. If you have not been watching the news, or if you've not been paying attention to the events and the things that have been unfolding around the world, then you may not have encountered the fear that is ongoing and the fear that is taking place. Maybe you haven't been watching the news, but you probably saw the gas prices over the last couple of days, and that may have caused fear to begin to rise up within your heart. I know it did mine, you know. But so I want to talk to you about this because there is, right now, God is doing some things on the earth. God is doing some things in the church, and the enemy is countering that. We have been in a state of fear for the last couple of years, especially. The enemy has really been fighting to have the world in a state of fear, and he's only escalating that. That's only increasing. But also, he's been trying to stir that same thing within the church, within the body of Christ. But God has not given us a spirit of fear. The Word says he's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us what? Power, love, and a sound mind. Tell your neighbor, I've got a sound mind. Yeah, some of you are looking at your neighbor and you're going, I'm not sure about that. I've been wanting to get that checked out. Power, love, and a sound mind. God has given you and I power because of the Holy Spirit. He's given us love because of the salvation that we have in Jesus, and a sound mind because of the working of the Holy Spirit and the revelation of the Holy Spirit that's in our lives. So we're able to look at the current events and the current situations and circumstances that are unfolding in the world, and instead of responding to them in worry, instead of responding to them in fear, we are responding to them as God has called us to as the church. By faith. Tell your neighbor, by faith. Tell your neighbor, by faith. Because if you and I live based on what we see, based on what we feel, and based on what we hear, we will never experience the peace. We will never experience the power. We will never experience the love. We will never experience the sound mind that God has intended for us to have. The enemy wants to rob you of the sound mind that God has given you as a child of God. He wants to rob you of the love that assures you of the sound mind that God has given you, and of the power that gives you that love and that sound mind. Because he wants the church powerless, so that the church is therefore ineffective, unable to represent the light and the hope and the salvation that heaven has come to offer. I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God who's not moved by world leaders and dictators, that's not moved by world events and circumstances, that's not moved by sickness and disease, by bad reports, that's not moved by unexpected circumstances, difficulties, and challenges in our life, but that is only moved by those who call upon his name, who worship worship him with praise, who seek him with unstoppable determination in their lives, because it's that moment that we experience heaven invading earth and God beginning to move in ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. God does the impossible when we as the church rise up by faith and choose to fear not. Tell your neighbor, I won't be afraid. Tell your neighbor, I won't be afraid. Fear has no authority over those who have said yes to the salvation and the love that God has given us. Now, understand what I'm saying this morning. I'm not saying that fear won't come. Fear will come. Fear will come, just like troubles will come. Jesus said it. I love that he says that at the end of this powerful message on not worrying about our life in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. I love that he ends that last verse with, each day has enough trouble of its own. I got enough problems to deal with today that I don't have time to worry about what tomorrow may have. There are enough troubles and unexpected circumstances that are coming in my life that I don't have time to worry about the what ifs, the could be's, and the maybes. I got to focus on today. So I've got to know what God is saying to me today. I've got to know what God is speaking to my heart and my life today. So as I turn and I focus my attention not on the fear and the feelings and the emotions and the events and the circumstances that are unfolding in my life today, but as I focus my attention on the Lord and I fix my attention on him, I am reminded of who I am and who he's called me to be today. I may not know how it's all going to turn out tomorrow. I may not know what it's going to look like a week, a month, 6 months, or 2 years from now. But one thing I am assured of, God has given us power, he's given us love, and he's given us a sound mind. And the power that he's given us is the power to overcome. The love that he has given us is the love that nothing in this world can separate us from. Not in this world or out of this world. There's nothing more powerful. There's nothing that's greater than the love that God has given us and the sound mind. So it's how I've got peace that surpasses all understanding. Because I'm fixed, I'm firmly planted on what God has said, on what his word says about my life. So many times the enemy through fear comes to you and I, and because of the bad reports that we've heard, because of the things that are happening in the world, or the events or the circumstances that are unfolding in our lives, we begin to play into the emotions, and we begin to play into the tactics that the enemy uses through fear, and we begin to buy what the enemy is selling. The last time I checked, the devil is not the author or the finisher of my faith. The devil is not the creator of my life. He didn't found the foundations of the world, and he didn't put the plan for God to redeem the world in motion. He's the one who's been defeated again and again and again. He's nothing but full of lies. He's nothing but full of deception, and his attempts are to steal, kill, and destroy. But today, I know that I have been called, that I have been redeemed, that I have been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and I have a hope, I have a future, I have a promise that can never perish, spoil, or fade. So in the middle of my trouble today, I don't know about the troubles tomorrow, but I know about the troubles today. And in the middle of the troubles today, I'm going to worship the Lord. I'm going to sing of his goodness. I'm going to sing of his mercy. I'm going to sing of his love. I'm going to worship him. I'm going to wait on him. I'm going to lift him up, because I know in this hour and in this moment that he is my help in time of trouble, that he is my place of refuge, that he is the one who reminds me who I have been called to be and what I have been called to do. So I may not know how it's going to turn, and I may not know how it's going to be different, but one thing I do know is that with my God, all things are possible. So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to do what he said to do today, and I'm going to leave the worries of tomorrow and the worries of today at the feet of the cross, because he has the final say. One of my favorite verses, you've heard me quote it many, many times in this church. You'll hear me quote it many, many times more until the day that Jesus takes me home, is Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. One of the biggest things that the enemy uses to work fear into our lives are the things that we work for each and every day. The basic essentials. I'm not talking about the fancy things. I'm talking about the basic essentials, the basic needs that we have. Food, shelter, clothing, the basic things. This is what Jesus comes to, because this is the foundation of things that we worry about in our lives, especially as adults, especially as providers, especially as caretakers, as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives. The responsibilities that God has entrusted to us to care for those that God has blessed us with, that God has given us with. And this is how the enemy works his way in with fear, because what he tries to disguise it as, well, it's not fear, it's just your responsibility. It's not fear, it's just what you're supposed to do. It's just your duty. And so what happens is we begin looking and we begin running the numbers and we begin looking at the situation and we begin looking at the circumstance and we begin fearing how it is that we're going to be able to meet the expectations that we feel that have been placed on us. And we begin worrying about how we're going to be able to respond and how we're going to be able to handle and how we're going to be able to deal with and how we're going to be able to address all of these things. And what happens is worry sets in. Worry begins to consume our thoughts. Worry begins to consume our mind. And instead of us meditating on the Word of God, like Psalm 1 tells us about, instead of our attention and our focus being on the Lord and what He has said about our lives and what He's saying about our day and what He's saying about our situations and our circumstances, we're worrying about how we're going to pay that bill. We're worrying about how we're going to handle this report that we've received. We're worried about what tomorrow's going to look like and next week and next month and next year, and I just don't know how it's all going to balance out, and I just don't know how it's all going to come together. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, if you are a child of God, God has not called you and I to worry, and He has not called you and I to fear. He has called you and I by faith to respond to the love, to respond to the hope, to respond to the joy that is found in His Word. And when you and I respond in obedience to what God has said, when you and I do what God tells us to do today, He'll worry about tomorrow. He'll take care of all of the struggles. He'll take care of all of the impossibilities. He'll take care of all the challenges. He'll take care of all of the difficulties. He'll take care of all the unexpecteds. He'll move and work, and He'll provide, and He'll supply, and He'll do what only He can do. If you and I today, instead of worrying and giving in to the trap that is fear, that ultimately paralyzes you and I as the church and as the body of Christ, we'll walk in the peace and the joy and the hope that God has established for our life. So how do I live as a believer and fear not? Number one, seek first. Tell your neighbor, seek first. Tell your neighbor, seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. What does God say about my marriage? What does God say about my finances? What does God say about our nation? What does God say about, what is God saying about the events that are going on in the world? What does God say about the doctor's report? What does God say about the situations in our business? What does God say about the situations in my workplace, in my job, in my future? What is God saying about those things? Because here's what happens when I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, what I'm doing is what Austin was talking about, what we do in worship, what he was talking about just a few moments ago in worship. What we're doing is we're establishing God's kingdom as the authority over our life. And what happens when we establish the kingdom of God as the authority of our lives is that the enemy loses his authority over our lives. That the enemy is rendered powerless. Why? Because when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we position ourselves to receive the blessings, the benefits, and the promises that the Word of God have made available to us. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It means you don't have to work for it. Hear me? You don't have to work for it to try to make it all happen, to try to get all of these things, to try to find all these basics. All you and I have to do is be obedient and seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will give it. God will give it. See, the trap that the enemy uses is they get you and I convinced that you and I are the ones that can make it happen. Tell your neighbor, stop trying to make it happen. You cannot make God's plans happen for your life. The only way that God's plans can be fulfilled in your life is if God fulfills them. And the only way that you and I can be positioned to experience that is to be obedient to do what He said. So what happens in my life when I choose to seek first the kingdom of God, when we choose to seek first the kingdom of God, is we render fear powerless because of what God's Word says, because the power of God's Word that's at work within our life, and we set ourselves free from the tactics and from the attempts and from the trials of the enemy to all ultimately render us imprisoned by fear. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. God knows our needs before we do. God knows our needs before we even knew, what a need was. God knew my need. God knew your need in our lives. When we wait on the Lord, what happens is we experience the freedom that God has made available to us by seeking Him first. Secondly, this morning, how do I fear not in my life? Not only do I seek first, but secondly, I wait on the Lord. Tell your neighbor, wait on the Lord. Whoo! Don't you love waiting? Isn't it exciting? I hate waiting. I don't like it one bit. It frustrates me, especially when I expected it at a certain time, or I expected to be somewhere at a certain time, or I expected something to happen at a certain time, and it doesn't happen at that time. Isn't it frustrating? And you're like, okay, the Lord's trying to teach me patience, you know? And then the more that you try to practice patience, the more your patience is tested, and the more frustrated you want to become, right? But what happens in our life as believers is, in order for us to fear not only do we have to seek the Lord first, we have to wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. God's timing is perfect. God's timing is perfect. My timing and your timing, when it comes to the things of God and it comes to the will and the plan of God in our lives, it's flawed. You know how I know? Because there have been a lot of times that I've tried to help God out. You ever tried to help God out? Lord, I know you're busy. You got a lot going on. In the world right now, you got a lot of needy people, and I know I'm not one of them. Pride, and I know that I'm just going to step in here, and I think I've got a real good solution to the problem that I think that I'm dealing with. Here's the problem: is us. The problem is our lack of trust, our lack of faith, our lack of willingness to wait on God, because God's timing is perfect. God is the miracle worker, the way maker, the promise keeper. I love Joshua 23:14. Somebody write this down. You need this morning. Joshua 23:14. Joshua makes this declaration. He says, I'm coming to the end of my life. He knew that his days were up. He knew that it was time for him to go, to rest, to be with the Lord, to experience the fulfillment of what God had said for his life. He'd led the children of Israel across the Jordan out of the wilderness into the promised land. They had taken the land. And he makes this declaration in Joshua 23:14. He said, the promises of God have not failed. The promises of God have not failed. Somebody needs to hear this morning, the promises of God do not fail. The promises of God do not fail. God's promises do not fail. There are times where it looks like in our life that the promise has not been fulfilled, that the promise has not yet happened, that the promise has not yet come. But friends, I'm telling you, God's timing is perfect in fulfilling his word and fulfilling his promises. A promise from God is the word of God, and the word of God never returns void. God is faithful to fulfill his word and his promise. God is faithful to fulfill his word and his promise in our life. So what happens when you and I wait on the Lord is that we position ourselves to receive the blessing and the benefit, the provision and the resources that heaven has to offer. Because when it's done God's way, it's wonderful. When it's done God's way, it's wonderful. So when I have a problem and I have a situation and I have a circumstance that's beyond my understanding, that's beyond my control, when it's causing me to worry and it's opening the door to fear in my life, what do? I position myself to wait on the Lord. I position myself to wait on the Lord. I'm seeking God first on a daily basis. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in my life. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness in my life. But to go beyond that, I have to understand that I have to position myself to hear what God is saying and respond in obedience to what his word has established for my life. I love Psalm chapter 37. Psalm 37, check this out, in verse number 7, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways and when they carry out their wicked schemes. We will see other people succeed. We will see other people advance in areas and ways in our life which will cause us to second guess the timing of God and which will cause us to second guess the word of God and what he's established for us. It's the moment that worry begins to take root in our minds and opens the door to fear. Because it's in that moment that we begin to say, well, I guess what God said isn't what God meant. I guess what God said isn't what he really intended. So I've got to try to figure out what it is. I love this in Psalm 37, verse 7. Wait patiently on the Lord. Wait patiently on the Lord. Why? Because when we wait patiently on the Lord, we experience the goodness, we experience the blessing, we experience the goodness of God in our lives. When we wait patiently on the Lord, we know what the word says, our strength is renewed. When we wait patiently on the Lord, we experience the refreshing that we need in our lives from heaven. It positions us to experience the freedom that God ultimately has intended for us as a child of God. We wait patiently on the Lord. I love this, not only in verse number 7, but in verse number 34, it says, wait for the Lord and keep his way. He will exalt you to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. God's timing in our lives is always perfect. Tell your neighbor, fear not. Wait on the Lord. When we wait on the Lord, waiting on the Lord, hear me, waiting on the Lord does not involve us. It doesn't involve us taking an inactive or an unengaged approach towards the Lord. Okay? It doesn't mean that, okay, well, I'm waiting on God, so I'm just going to go over here and worry about something else while God takes care of that, okay? Because a lot of times that's what we do. You know, we have multiple things, and so we take some things before the Lord, and then other things we want to try to, and the reason that we have to seek first is so that we make sure that we are establishing over our lives the Word of God, the will of God, the plan of God, to experience the freedom and the faith that God has given us as His people. Because we realize that everything in my life comes from Him. Everything in my life comes from Him. It's not part following God and then part over here handling my marriage or my children or my finances or the situations or the circumstances, the things that I'm battling through with my health or the things that I'm going through in these different things. It's waiting on the Lord and trusting on the Lord by praying, by worshiping, by seeking Him, by positioning myself in a way to realize that when I worship, when I pray, when I fast, when I seek the Lord, I am positioning myself to experience the revelation and the truth that God is my everything. God is my everything. That He supplies all of my needs. That He is my refuge. That He is my protection. That He is my source. That He is my hope. That He is my peace. My peace doesn't come from the things of this world or the things that this world can offer. There's not enough money in the world to buy peace. There's not enough money in the world to buy peace. There's not a drug that is powerful enough to give you peace. There is not a thing that you and I can pursue in this life that will give us peace. We will think what we need in order to have peace or to have arrived in our life is this one set thing, and we will work and we will sacrifice and we will do everything that we can to get there only to find out that it's not enough and we need more. Because there's only one place that you and I find true satisfaction, and it's in Jesus. Thirdly, He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Tell your neighbor, He restores my soul. Who is He? God. God is the only one who satisfies. I love this. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. Another definition for that is they will be satisfied. The only way that you and I experience the satisfaction, the only way that you and I experience the peace, the only way that you and I experience the refreshing, the only way that you and I experience the restoration that God has intended for us is when we realize that it's He that restores. So what happens when we seek Him first? What happens when we wait on Him? We experience the restoration. We experience the satisfaction. We experience the restoral of our souls. What God is doing in this hour, what God is doing in this moment in our lives, is God is setting us free from fear, and He is positioning us in faith to respond to the situations and the circumstances that we are faced with in our life. Because instead of losing sleep about what's happening around the world, instead of losing sleep about the report that you got from the doctor, instead of losing sleep about your financial future, instead of losing sleep about the current status events, instead of letting worry and fear and all of these things consume our hearts and our minds and our hearts are fixed on Jesus. Our attention is fixed on the Lord. Why? Because we're seeking Him first. And when we seek him first, what happens? He meets all of our needs. So what happens in my life and what happens in your life when we put all of those things onto the Lord, when we surrender those things to God, what happens is we experience a freedom that God has intended for us. Do you know why so many of us are so tired? How many of you are tired? You tired? How many of you, you sleep and you're still tired? Yeah. Do you know what one of the biggest things that robs us of rest is? Worry and fear. You know why? Because our minds never stop. Even when we aren't physically exerting energy, our minds are constantly working all of the different solutions and all the different ways that we can handle the different problems and the different situations and the different circumstances. If I talk to this person, if I go here, if I change that, if I look for this job, if I focus on this, if I Google this, if I research that, if I find, maybe that'll just be the solution that I have. And our minds are going 100 miles an hour, and we're never finding the rest that God has called us to. God has not called you and I to live in a constant state of restlessness. He's called us to rest. That's what I love about Psalm 23. That's what I love about verse number 3. Who restores my soul? It's the Lord. The Lord restores my soul. The thing is that in life, how's it 12 o'clock? I hate that clock. Somebody get rid of that clock. I hate it. I hate that clock, Brian. Smash it, will you? Okay, so I'm just gonna share this. I've had this revelation on my heart for a couple of weeks, and I just feel the Lord. I'm telling you, I told Austin this morning, I said, I've got about 4 messages that God's given me to preach. And he said, we'll be here till 4 a.m. I said, no. You and I will, everyone else will have left, and you'll be asleep in the sound booth. So This is what I want to do. This is where we're at right now. This is what the enemy's doing in our lives. The enemy is trying to do everything that he can to get you and I to pick up what God has never called us to carry. Okay? So this is what happens. We have a situation and we have a circumstance in our life, and we pick it up. Okay? And we start worrying about it. And we start thinking, what am I going to do with this? This is a chair, so we'll call it a chair. You call it whatever the problem is in your life. The biggest problem you got right now, okay? Everybody got a problem? Raise your hand if you got a problem right now. Yeah, okay. Raise your hand at home. We can't see you, but we know you're there. All right, so this is your biggest worry, okay? This is your biggest concern, all right? For some of us, our worry and our concern may not seem that big of a deal to somebody else based on what their worry or based on what their concern is, but for us, it's our biggest worry. It's our biggest concern, okay? So we pick it up, okay? This is our burden, all right? This is our burden. Tell your neighbor, I got a burden. So we pick up our burden and we start carrying our burden around, and it's what begins consuming our thoughts and our minds. Why? Because, well, as you can tell, it doesn't really go with my outfit. See, I can't see what your burden is, but I know you got one. I can't see what your burden is, but I know it's there. This chair is the illustration and the representation of the burden that you and I have, and we begin to carry that burden. But here's the problem. When you and I have a burden, when you and I have a problem, oftentimes we begin worrying about that and we begin opening the door to fear about that in our lives, and we don't lay it down. Why? I can't let go of this burden. This is my burden. I have to take care of this burden. I have to meet this need. I have to handle this problem. I have to handle this situation. It's mine. This is my burden. But I don't know about any of y'all, but how many of you have more than one problem right now? You got more than one? If you got more than one problem, lift your hand. Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know about you, but this is getting kind of inconvenient. This is what happens. Why? Because we realize that this burden and this problem leads and creates another problem, right? And so what happens is these burdens and these problems and these worries begin to flood our minds. So we're having conversations and we're spending time with our spouse, but we're not really fully there because we've got these burdens and we've got these worries. We come to our prayer time and our time to seek the Lord, to seek him first, to really get into his word and into his presence to worship, but our mind won't shut off because we've got these burdens and we just don't have the freedom and we just don't have the release to be able to really worship. I can't lift my hands in worship because if I lift my hands in worship, I'm going to drop drop my burdens. I'm going to drop my problems. I'm going to drop my worries. I can't do that because nobody else understands my burden. Nobody else understands my struggle. They don't get what I've been through. They don't get the fight that I've had to go through. They don't understand my pain. They don't understand the trials and the tribulations and the struggles and all the things that I've had to endure through this. And I have been working tirelessly, and I have been working. I have been giving everything that I've got to be able to handle these burdens and to be able to handle these situations and to be able to handle these circumstances, and the worry only increases and the fear only increases. Why? Because we realize that these burdens are getting too heavy. I don't know if anybody else has more than two burdens or more than two problems, but eventually you don't have room for much more. Eventually, I don't have the ability to be able to carry more than what I've got. And so I began sacrificing. I began sacrificing my mental capacity, my spiritual ability to respond to the things that I need to in my life. And it doesn't take long before I start to get tired, before I'm breathing heavier and walking slower and talking slower, and I feel the heaviness and the weight and the worry and the struggle and the pain of all of this burden and all of this fear and all this worry in my life. I don't feel restored, and I don't feel refreshed when I take time off. I don't feel restored, and I don't feel refreshed when I lay my head down to sleep at night. I go to sleep with these worries and these burdens, and I get up. Let me tell you, there's not room in my bed for these. We have a queen-size bed. We need a king. I'm praying for a breakthrough. Somebody pray with me. Amen? Okay, that's not part of this. But we don't have, you know, but you think about it. You think about if your worries and your problems were chairs that you had to carry around all day long, and the physical toll that would take on your body, there wouldn't be room for you to be close to anybody else. Nobody can get to you because you've got to carry these. Nobody can connect to you. We can't connect to the Holy Spirit. We can't engage because we're too busy making sure that we don't drop the worries that we have. And it's why Jesus said in Matthew 6, 25 through 34, don't worry about your life. You're carrying burdens and you're carrying weights and you're carrying worries that God never intended for you to carry. Think about the birds of the air, how they sing, how they fly, how they go. I told Rihanna the other day, I said, I just want to be like a bird. Some of y'all are like, sing, Pastor Haley said. You don't want me to sing. Keep my singing between me and Jesus. I told her, I said, I want to be. Some of y'all are like, Pastor's lost it. He's gone around the bend. Wow, I want the freedom. Think about it. Beautiful creations of God. They fly around. They sing. I got up early the other morning, went outside with the dog, and we were out there. And I mean, just the loudest chorus of birds that were singing. And I thought, man, just the praises of God's creation that are singing this morning. And they don't have a care or a worry in the world because God is providing every single one of their needs. And friends, I'm here to tell you today, Jesus gives us that powerful message in Matthew chapter 6. But some of us are carrying around these burdens and we're carrying around these worries. And I love what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened, and I will give you rest for your souls. There are some people here this morning, there are some people joining us online today, you need to find rest. You need to find rest. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy burdened. Jesus calls us to take our burdens, to take those burdens and to lay them at his feet, to let go. It feels good to walk around without that. Jesus calls us to lay those burdens at his feet. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I like how he says yoke and burden, not yokes and burdens. David said it in Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restores my soul." Friends, I'm here to tell you today, there is an attempt of the enemy to get you and I to live in fear and in worry about the burdens and the cares and the worries that we have in our life. But God is saying, let me have your burdens. Let me have your worries and let me have your cares. Lay them at my feet and walk in the peace that I'm giving you. Walk in the freedom of what I'm giving you. But Connor, you don't understand. I can't stop. I can't let go of these things. I've got all these things that I have to hold on. I've got all these things that I've got. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, nobody can handle my problems and yours like Jesus. Nobody can handle the needs and the burdens and the worries that we carry in our life like the Lord. There's something powerful that happens when you and I realize that with God, all things are possible. That with God, He can move the mountains that we face. That He can handle the burdens and the difficulties and the struggles and the strategies that we need in our life. If we lay all of that at His feet, we can find the peace that God has called us to. I believe this morning that for some of you, there's going to be freedom from the fear that these burdens have placed on your life. And I believe that this morning that God is going to restore rest to your souls. I believe that you're going to have peace restored to your mind today. I believe that you are going to sleep again and find rest. I believe that you are going to take a day off. Tell your neighbor, take a day off. Tell your neighbor, take a day off. It is in the Bible. Hear me today. If you do not take a day off once a week, you are breaking the Ten Commandments of God. Connor, I do not have time to take a day off. There's a reason you're not finding rest. Taking a day off is a step of faith. Hear me. It's a step of faith. It is a huge step of faith. But you will watch God do incredible things. Why? Because He will refresh your soul. You will find that you get more done in 6 days than you do seven. If it's about money, you will find that you will make more money in 6 days than you will in seven. Why? Because you are honoring the word of the Lord. And you are finding rest for your soul. For some of you, you're going to take a day off and you're actually going to find rest. Now hear me, don't take the day off and carry your burdens around. Do you know how much money I could be making? Do you know what I could be getting done right now? Do you know about all these things? I got to clean that out. It's spring. It's time. I got to do the flower beds. I got to clean out the shop. I got to go and reorganize. I got to do this. If I don't do it today, I'm not going to have time next week. There's no way that I'm going to have enough time next week. I've got to do it today. If it doesn't happen today, can I ask you a question? What's it matter in the scope of eternity? What's it matter in the scope of eternity? When we release that to the Lord, we find freedom for our souls. We find peace, and we find joy, and we find the power of the Holy Spirit once again at work within our life. I believe today that for some of you, God, you're going to take a day off, and you're actually going to find the rest that God has for you, because I believe the Lord is delivering you from fear today.